let's go to St. John chapter 14. St. John chapter 14. I want to say to those that are here tonight with their packets from Saturday, and you're following me on the outline that I gave you for our conference, we're going to get to all those points, but I'm going to kind of scramble them up tonight. For those of you that are taking notes, you'll just be fine, praise God. St. John chapter 14. Amen. Confirmation, I guess. The voice of God. Some said it thundered, you know. Praise God. You know, when I think about the fresh anointing, I keep coming back, and write this down when I turn to it, I keep coming back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It says, "But the anointing which you have received." Everybody say, "have received." That's what the Bible says. It says, "But the anointing which you have received abideth in you." Now see, that anointing's in there. Everybody say, "that anointing's in me." Let's keep our minds on what we're doing here. Everybody say, "the anointing's in me." Now, it's one thing for the anointing to be in there. It's another thing for the anointing what? To manifest or come forth. It's got to get from your spirit man up into your soulish realm. That's the first step. Everybody put your hand right here. Everybody say, "my spirit man up into my soulish realm." See, that's your mind and thoughts. Once your mind catches up with the Spirit, see, the Spirit knows every answer. The Spirit knows what to do. The Spirit has the solution. But our minds, you know, don't know. How do we get it up there? Well, it's by the Spirit of God learning to yield to that. And so we're going to continue talking about the walkie-talkie system. All right, St. John chapter 14. And I want you to mark verse 22 down through verse 26. I think this is a great question that this guy asks. "Judas saith unto him," verse 22, "not Iscariot." So this isn't Judas Iscariot. "Lord, how is it?" Would you mark this question? "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Isn't that the question we're asking? Lord, how are you going to communicate to me? How are you going to talk to me? How are you going to give me life's answers when the rest of the world seems to not hear it? What's the process that you're going to use to manifest the anointing, to manifest the voice of God? How's it going to happen? Well, it's going to start with the Word of God. Look in verse 23. "Jesus answered." Now, here's the answer, folks. "Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me." Would you circle that right there? Before you're going to have Jesus manifest himself to you, you're going to have a divine love affair with him. Can I put it that way? You're going to have to fall in love with Jesus. You're going to fall in love and stay in love with the resurrected Jesus, not the religious Jesus. Folks, I can tell you, I'm not interested in the religious Jesus. What's that? That's, you know, people say, well, you know, he's up on a cross. You know, he's out in outer space somewhere. The resurrected Jesus is walking on this planet. Amen? And so you got to have a love affair with him and an ongoing love relationship. "If a man love me," see, "he will keep my words." Circle it, words. Once you fall in love with Jesus, the first thing he's going to say, hey, give your attention to what? The Word. Because it's the Word that's going to begin to sensitize your soulish realm to the invisible voice of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God. The only thing the sword's going to grab to do, the only thing the Spirit's going to grab to do warfare for you is the Word. And so the Holy Ghost grabs the Word. Could you say that with me? The Holy Ghost grabs the Word. Alright, so he says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him." Here's the promise, mark it. "We'll come unto him and make our home with him." I like that. What happens in a home? Conversation. Fellowship. Discussion. See, God wants to come and make a home with you in your soulish realm, not just in your spirit realm, and he's going to accept you even when he gets to know you. Did some of you get that? See, that I've got some friends and then I've got some friends. I see Alex and Linda back there, and they've been such a blessing. Wave at me, Alex and Linda. Alex goes way back. See, he knows me and he still loves me. You might know me, but I wonder if you would still love me. Yeah. Amen? By faith, David? Yeah. All right. "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him, make our abode him." All right, verse 24. "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." So, you know, people say, "Jason, I just can't hear the voice of God. I have a hard time hearing the voice of God. I just can't seem to get it." My first question is this. Number one, do you love Jesus? Oh, yeah, bless God, I love him. You know I love him. Are you staying in the Word? Well, when's the last time you had a devotion? When's the last time you read the Bible? Not in church, not on Wednesday night. When's the last time you read the Bible? Well, you know, it's kind of a long time ago. No, if you love Him, you'll get in His Word, you see. All right, now verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings or my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now, I want you to mark verse 26 in yellow, put it in pink, put it in all those hot colors. Amen? Because Jesus begins to transition from the divine love relationship into the Word of God, and now He's going to jump from the Word or the sayings of Jesus into the ministry of the supernatural walkie-talkie system. That's the Holy Ghost, praise God. Somebody says, I don't believe in that Holy Ghost stuff. You ever heard people talk like that? No, I don't believe in that Holy Ghost stuff. Well, do you believe in hearing from Jesus? Oh, yeah, I believe in hearing from Jesus, but I don't believe in that Holy Ghost stuff. That's just as dumb as somebody saying, I believe in long-distance conversations. Reach out and touch somebody, AT&T. I believe in doing that, but I don't believe in telephones. They don't go together. Hello? If you believe in long-distance conversations, you believe in telephones. All right, let's look at verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Would you mark this? He shall teach you all things, mark it, and bring all things to your memory. Would you allow me to read it that way? And bring all things to your memory, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, when we talk about being sensitive in your soulish realm to the Spirit that's in there, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have to fall in love with Jesus. Jesus, you're more important than anything. You're more important than making money. You're more important than my career. Jesus, I lay it all on the altar. I want to go your way because you are eternity, as the pastor said. In you is everything. He that does the will of God abides forever, but he that's in the world is passing away. So Jesus, I love you. All right, if you love me, get in my word. All right, okay, Lord, I'm going to begin to study. And the Holy Ghost will then begin to grab that word and bring it to your memory. That's the voice of God. Everybody say, that's the voice of God. Somebody says, Jason, that's too simple. That's the voice of God. You know, everybody wants it Charlton Heston style. You know, burning bush experience, the whole bit. They want the ricocheting voice of God. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be at the mall and God could just single you out? Jason. Just kind of ricochet through the mall area, you know. Glory to God. Yes, Father. See, that would really build. Jason. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Or maybe at a minister's convention where all the ministers could hear it. Praise God.
Thou art a mighty man of God. Remove thy shoes from off of thy feet.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Second thought. Put them back on.
You know, I don't know. You know, everybody wants trances. Everybody wants visions. Everybody wants dreams. Everybody wants the goofy stuff. Which God, yes, does and can do. But the normal, standard, Monday through Friday operational procedure of the Holy Ghost is found in verse 26. He'll simply bring all things to your memory. So you got a problem and you're driving down the road and that verse floats through your brain. That's the voice of God speaking to you. You got this problem and you don't know how to work it out and you didn't even take notes. How in the world can this happen? And something that Pastor Bobby ministered on comes back into your brain. That's the voice of the Holy Ghost trying to communicate to you. Amen. That is the manifestation of the anointing. That's the release of the anointing that's going from the spirit realm up into the soulish realm. And then if you'll begin to speak on it and act on it, you'll see a miracle birthed forth. Are you getting anything? You know, I was just in the state of Florida. We went on vacation, and I was talking with a pastor while I was down in Fernandina Beach. And this pastor told me an amazing illustration, which I really had heard, but I never related this. In Florida, there is a phenomena known as sinkholes. Has anybody ever heard of that? A sinkhole is an area under the ground where there used to be, everybody say used to be, there used to be living water. There used to be a stream. There used to be flowing, vibrant water under there. And it carved out a hole, but long ago, that water ceased to exist there. That water dried up. The problem with a sinkhole is that things are built on top of this ground. Everything looks normal from the observation, the outward observation. Everything, boy, this is solid ground. This building will stand forever. Everything's just fine. And then lo and behold, one day, it collapses inward because the water ceased to be there. Are you following me? Now, that by illustration is what can and does happen to many Christians. And every one of us face that situation where we've got the river in there. But that river, which used to flow through our soulish realm. Are you following me? It used to flow through the soulish realm and cause life to come forth, cause fruit to come forth, cause the solutions to come forth. We start coasting. We quit abiding. We lose our first love relationship with Jesus. And on the outside, it may look fine for a while, but in here, there's a cavern. The living water's not there. And we're in danger of collapsing inward. Are you getting anything? Now, that's the first way the Holy Ghost wants to talk to you. Number one, by the Word. Number two, by simply bringing things to your memory. But He also, as we taught on Sunday, and I want to go back to it for a moment, He also wants to use some basic equipment. Everybody say equipment. Equipment. Everybody say basic.
Basic.
Equipment. Equipment. See, we would never send these guys over to Operation Desert Shield. And they report for duty and hand them a Daisy BB gun. That's an insult. Everybody say an insult.
Insult.
I mean, you'll say, guys, go over there and do it. You know, if you get attacked, here's your BBs. We got extra BBs for you. That's an insult. Well, God's not going to send you into the battle without good equipment. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And that equipment will get you the equipment. I don't know if you caught that. That spiritual equipment will get you the natural equipment. You know, everybody wants to get real goofy when it comes down to buildings or overseas ministry or whatever, and just trust Jesus. Well, you don't get on an airplane and flash a clergy card to them. It's like one pastor I heard, he said he was stopped by the policeman and he was in a hurry and he thought he'd pull the old clergy trick on the guy. And he said, "Hello, I'm Pastor so-and-so." Hint, hint. And the officer said, "Well, hello, I'm Officer so-and-so who's going to give you a ticket." Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The spiritual equipment, listen to me now, this is life to you. It's life to me. The spiritual equipment, rightly used, will take the ground necessary in the natural for you to get the job done. The spiritual equipment, rightly used. It's not just enough to have it, because you've all got it. If you're a Christian, you've already got it. You don't have to go get it, you've got it. But the anointing which you have received abides in you. The spiritual equipment, rightly used, will cause you to possess the natural inheritance that you need to get the job done in the world. Chapter 14, verse 13, 14, and 15. The supernatural walkie-talkie system of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The speaking gifts. See, once that, listen, look, once the Spirit comes up into your brain, if it's in English, then you can act on it. But there are so many things that we simply don't know what to do. There are so many things that we simply don't know how to pray for as we should. Our brain is just not smart enough. And so God says, "I'm going to give you a supernatural walkie-talkie system. Do a little walkie and do a little talkie for Jesus. Praise God." All you got to do is let the Spirit begin to pray through you in a language that your brain doesn't understand. And then you pause and get the interpretation. And once you get the interpretation back to your mind, that is spiritual revelation knowledge. You act on it and you'll have a miracle. Verse 13. "Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue," would you mark it? We read it Sunday morning. "Pray that he may interpret." So what's the first thing you must do if you would like to begin to move into this realm of tongue interpretation and prophecy? Number one, pray. Speak in tongues. And number two, pray that you may interpret. How many of you can handle that much? Amen. I can handle that. Lord, would you help me to interpret? That's as far as you got to go. Lord, would you help me to interpret? Sure, I'll help you. All right, let's look at the next verse. Verse 14. "For if I pray in a tongue, my what prays?" Mark that. It's not your brain that's praying. It's not emotions. It's not hyper gibberish, though some would try to, attach that to it. The Bible says in verse 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit, everybody say my spirit.
My spirit.
See, my spirit is praying. Now, let's go back to our hand illustration. Everybody put your hands up. I tell you, you're going to get this. Amen. I had to hear it about 10 times through Oral Roberts before I ever got it. That's why I teach on it everywhere I go. Because people sit there and go, wow, that's a cute, that's a neat little thing there. They never do it. Everybody say my right hand. Come on, wave at me. My right hand represents the Holy Spirit of God. My left hand represents my human spirit. Now, when you get born again, you get saved, you believe on Jesus, the Holy Spirit joins with your spirit, so lace your fingers together. That's called the new man. That's the new creation. The anointing that you have received abideth in you. He's there. Now, the Holy Spirit knows everything. Remember the little dance we did? The Holy Spirit's in there going, I know all about you. I know exactly what to do. I know, I know, I know. I'm ready to go. And your spirit's in there going, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. And so the Holy Spirit that's joined to your spirit, see 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that's joined the Lord is one spirit. The Holy Spirit comes over here and inspires your human spirit. Now it's time for your brain to catch up, amen? Because we got the train going. We got a little train in there, choo-choo train. The Holy Ghost is going, I know exactly what to do. I know about you. I know which way to go. Come on, come on. And then your spirit's behind you going, yeah, I see it now. I see it now. I see it now. But your soul's over here going, man, I just don't get it. The Holy Ghost says, let's make a soul train. Hallelujah. Whoa, I knew David would like that. I knew he'd like that. Praise God. Woo, I knew he would like it. And so God says, hey, all you got to do is begin to pray in tongues and then pray that you may interpret, because when you get interpretation, your soul wakes up, your mind becomes alert, and your mind goes, I see what to do too. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And you begin to act on it and you have a miracle. Is that easy? Folks, that's easy. Praise God.
Well, I was hoping for something more complicated.
I tell you what, you don't have to be complicated to be a Christian. Thank God. Amen. That means you qualify. Praise the Lord. You know, take that however you want it. All right, verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, look, but my understanding, or if you'd like to put in the margin of your notes, my soulish realm, see, my soulish realm is unfruitful. So here I am praying in tongues, and my mind does not know what's going on. But if I'll do what verse 13 says, go back to verse 13. If after I pray in tongues or sing in tongues, I just pause a moment and say, Father, would you help me get the interpretation? You'll begin to be sensitive in your soulish realm to what the interpretation is. Look at the next verse, verse 15. See it? Put together. What is it then? I will. Everybody say, I will. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. That's where you start. Then you pause. You do verse 13. Would you help me to interpret, Lord? And then you come back around. I will pray with the understanding also. See, a lot of people have read verse 15 and said, no, he just means today you pray in the Spirit and tomorrow you pray with the understanding. That's not what he's saying. He's trying to teach verse 13. He's trying to say, hey, you start in the Spirit. You pause for the interpretation. You come back around with the understanding. And your soul gets in on the soul train. Praise God. And you begin to know what to do. Now, I'll give you an illustration of this in my life. Some of you have heard this story. Most of you haven't. Several years ago, I felt impressed of the Lord to believe for an airplane. Praise God. Everybody say airplane. See, I was a pilot, but it's hard to fly without an airplane. You know what I mean? Just get out there and run down the runway and it doesn't work. Got to have an airplane. And so I travel every weekend. Every weekend I'm gone somewhere. Sometimes it's a Sunday meeting. Sometimes it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever. And so I'm going all the time. For 8 years, I drove everywhere. I mean, the van I traded in had 200 and so I lost track of how many miles it had on it. So I said, bless God, if God rides in a chariot through the sky, then what's good for Him is good for me. Praise God. Let's go. So I began to believe for an airplane. And, you know, when I raise money or when I go for a project, the way that I feel comfortable is I just lay it out there and say, here's the facts. Pray about it. Would you help? I don't believe in gimmicks. I don't believe in sending out miracle wallets. Sleep on this and something will grow in the night, you know. And I don't believe in sending out life-size posters of me, you know. Put your hands on my hand, your face on my face, and something will happen, you know. That's just the way I am. It's either, hey, here it is. Pray. Get involved if God leads, etc. So I began to raise the money for it, and I'd never owned an airplane before, so I was very possible that I could believe for the wrong airplane. Can you see that? And it's like owning your first house. You think you know what you're doing until you own your first house. Amen. And so I began to raise money for the airplane. And I had a pastor call me up. In fact, my secretary at the time, she said, Pastor Frank Manchin. That's his name. He's become one of my best friends now. Pastor Frank Manchin in Birmingham wants to talk to you about your airplane project. And my first, I thought, glory to God, an investor, hallelujah, you know. So I went over here to the telephone. Hey, Pastor Frank, how you doing? He says, I got your airplane packet. That airplane you got in there is a throwaway airplane. You don't need that airplane, that's a throwaway piece of trash airplane. Yeah, that kind of makes your day, amen, you know. I said, well, glory, I said, well, how would you know? He says, I own 3 airplanes. I said, oh, glory. I said, well, I'm trying to believe for one. He says, well, the one you got in there is a throwaway airplane. You don't need it. I said, well, I don't need your wisdom either. Thank you. Click. I know y'all are sanctified and y'all never do stuff like that, but it irritated me. It upset me so bad. In fact, I went to the secretary. I said, who is Frank Manchin? I don't even know who the guy is. He just got one of our mailings, you know. She said, well, I said, deleting. There was just sort of a fulfillment. There's just kind of some a rush that went through me when I saw her hit the button, delete. And as far as I was concerned, Pastor Frank was gone. Hallelujah. Don't look at me so holy, folks. Some of you are looking at me like, how could you? Go look in the mirror and you'll figure it out. And so I'd forgotten all about it. I went home and told Martha, and I was upset all day, you know, about it and everything, and discouraging. You know, kind of somebody throwing cold water on a project or whatever. And I said, he's got 3 of them. He won't even let me have one of them. You know, just kind of chewing him up, spitting him out. I always think of things to say after. Are you like that? I always say, oh, I should have said this. I should have said that, you know. And so I really kind of forgot about it. And about 2 or 3 days later, I was just worshiping the Lord. In the beauty of His holiness. Everybody say, His holiness. And I was just speaking in tongues. Look at verse 15. I was singing in the spirit. And as my habit is, I do verse 13. Look what verse 13 says. I pray that I may interpret. Now, I'm certainly not teaching every time you pray in the spirit, you have to get an interpretation. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. But it says, pray that you may. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. And so that day I was singing this. Oh, Father, would you speak to me by your voice? Oh, my son, call up Frank Manchin. He's got wisdom for you. I said, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. That's the old devil trying to get in there. Sometimes the devil's a ventriloquist, you know. And I rebuke it. So I went back in kind of, you know, like a sheep. I said, could you give me Pastor Frank Manchin's phone number? She said, he's been deleted. It's true. I said, oh, glory. I said, well, call information tracker. Well, he had told me he was a pastor of a 1,000-member church, and he had kind of, you know, he's one of these faith men, super duper hyper faith, believe it, claim it, hallelujah, it's done, guys, you know. And so I saw a 1,000-member church, you'll never get through to the guy. I mean, I know about churches, once they get big, 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 I said, I'll never get through to him, so I'll call him just like Jesus said. I won't be able to get him, and praise God, I'm off the hook, hallelujah. So I called up, and they said, hello, this is Producing Faith, Super Duper Hyper Faith, We Believe It All Ministries. I'm poking fun at him. He is a wonderful man. He saved my skin, praise God. And I said, is Pastor Frank Manchin there? Who would I say is calling? I said, well, I don't know that he'll even recognize my name. Kind of really backing out of it, you know. She said, well, who is that? I said, Jason Peebles. Oh, okay. I thought, dear God, you know, they know me in there, you know. And all of a sudden, I heard this real, well, praise God. You decided to call me, didn't you? Hallelujah. Didn't cut me any slack at all. He said, you finally wanted to get some wisdom, didn't you? Praise God. That's a piece of trash airplane that you got in there. I said, well, it's been kind of coming to my attention that perhaps it is not the exact plane that I... It's a piece of trash airplane. I said, well, it could be a piece of trash airplane. I never had one. I said, I'm trying to own one here. And I said, now tell me what you wanted to tell me. I'll make a long story short. The guy's so nice. He said, what you doing this afternoon? Just like that. What you doing this afternoon? I said, well, I'm here at the office. He says, what's close to the airport to you? I said, well, there's an airport over here in Kennesaw, Marietta area. I said, McCollum Airport. That's, I'll be there in 40 minutes. Bye. I said, I believe I've got an appointment. Hallelujah. Now, folks, the reason I'm telling this story is my spirit, I'm sure that the Holy Ghost knew I was about to make a mistake. I mean, looking back, I can see now. See, now having owned an airplane and been involved in one for 3 years, I was making a mistake, a bad mistake. But my brain didn't know it because my brain didn't possess enough information. I'd never been down that road before. Are you learning anything? Well, my spirit, you know, Holy Spirit said, I go, we know what to do. We know what to, that's a piece of trash. That's a piece of trash. We know what to do. We know what to do. And my spirit said, I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever you say, Holy Ghost, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so then I begin to sing in the spirit. So my spirit steps over here, joined to the Spirit of God. And God says, I've got some equipment. Listen to me now. I've got some equipment that if you'll use that equipment rightly in the spirit, it'll produce the natural things that you need. If you'll get that interpretation. Look what verse 15 says. What is it then? Everybody say, what is it then? That's King Jimmy talk for what you're going to do about the problem of verse 14. Look at verse 14. What you going to do about the problem? Your brain is unfruitful. Now that's hard for some of you to confess. Especially know-it-alls. I doubt we have any know-it-alls in here at all tonight. But you know, in case you know somebody that's a know-it-all. Let's all say this.
My brain
doesn't always
know what to do.
Sometimes
my brain
is unfruitful.
Well,
I think you could benefit from this equipment. Well, I'm out there at the airport. I don't even know what the guy looks like. Never met him. I don't know if he's driving, flying. I assume he's flying. And you know, all kind of thoughts run through your brain. I thought, this guy is an absolute idiot. He don't have a church. He's not a pastor. He is a kook. I'm out here waiting. He'll never come. You know, there's that sin. I thought, he's coming. He is a big pastor. A big church. Oh, dear God, he's going to send me the invoice for the gas that he spends on flying over here. What have I got myself into? You know, you flip-flop like that. And all of a sudden, I heard this plane coming from Alabama way. So that could be Pastor Frank Manchin of the Super Duper Hyper Faith Believe It All Producing Faith Ministry Church. It starts to turn into land. And it lands out there. And I see on the tail it says, Jesus is Lord. Super Duper Hyper Faith Believe It All Ministry. I said, that's him. That's him. He pulls up. Big old muscular guy. This guy gets out. Well, glory to God. Glad to be here. You must be Jason Peebles. The guy about bought that piece of trash. Hallelujah. Don't say it too loud. Everybody's around, you know. He was so nice to me. We've become such good friends. He began to counsel me, reason with me, show me how the right plane to get. He began to just statistic. In other words, my soulish realm was gaining information. I'd never been down that path before. He took me flying, befriended me. Since then, I've preached two times in his church. He's blessed my socks off. He led me to a farmer in Nebraska who had the airplane that I now own in a barn. It's a cream puff. I mean, it's like a plane that has hardly ever been used. It's like buying a car with 15,000 miles. It's been in a farmer's barn in Nebraska. Now, do you believe the Holy Ghost knows where it's at?
Yeah.
It's in the barn in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now, the reason I tell that story is it so illustrates, number one, my total inadequacy. This is not a brag on me session. Have you picked that up? This is a let's brag on Jesus and the Holy Ghost session. The supernatural walkie-talkie system. Do a little walkie and do a little talkie. And get your soul in on the train, praise God. Doing that little dance like David did, you see. All right, now look at verse 15. What is it then? I will. Everybody say, I will. Now I want you to understand this is not something you are led to do. I just got to be led to do it. You don't need to be led to pray in tongues. You don't need to be led to tithe to your church. You don't need to be led to be kind to people. These are things that you will to do. I'm going to get me some of those lead weights. You know, like that evangelist friend of mine got that basket and it keeps lead, fishing lead. And it says, you know, if you have the need to feel lead, get one of these. Just carry it in your pocket everywhere. I need to feel lead. Just reach and go, I feel lead now. Praise God. Go ahead and do it. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. Also. Everybody say also.
Now, don't just pray in the Spirit. And don't just sing in the Spirit. Go to the also part. Get into the understanding. Now, write these down. This is going to be some tips that will help you to really get started in this. Here's how it will not happen. Okay? You will not go into a trance, probably, and see an invisible heavenly movie screen descend. Kind of like up there, you know. And see the words of your prayer language translated on the screen. Because the Bible never calls it a translation of tongues. The Bible always calls it, and after you do it, verse 13 says, you pray for the interpretation. Be sensitive in your mind. Would you write this down? You must become sensitive in your mind to, number one, a scripture that may float into your consciousness. Why? Because of what we just read in John 14:26. The Holy Ghost will what? Bring all things to your memory. So sometimes when you're praying in tongues, the way the showing forth of the meaning or the interpretation will come is the Holy Ghost will simply bring your memory or your remembrance back to some of the sayings of Jesus.
That's right.
Are you following me? Now, what do you have to do at that point? Speak it forth. Everybody say, speak it forth. In other words, at that point, you've got to say, my son or my daughter. Speak to yourself. See, somebody says, what does the Holy Ghost voice sound like? Just like your voice. I'm sorry, the Holy Ghost has to use your voice or my voice. See, when you go lead somebody to Christ, the Holy Ghost is going to speak to them through your vocal cords. And as David says, you know, it's going to come out whatever your vernacular is. If you talk real hip, the voice of God is going to talk to you real hip. If you read the King James, you might get some old English in there. I don't know. And so you say, my son, my daughter, be not discouraged. Know that this mountain shall be cast into the sea. See how I'm paraphrasing Scripture? I will not leave you nor forsake you. I'll tell you what, I need to hear that about 15 times a day. That's called the comforting power of the Holy Spirit. So a scripture. Number two, write this down. You need to be sensitive in your soulish realm to simply one word. You might just get one word that'll come up into your consciousness. Just one word. Peace. You know, maybe just peace comes up. Well, what do you think the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you? I would go ahead and verbalize him. My son, be at peace. Don't worry. Can you see how that could be the voice of God to you? All right, number three, write this down. Be sensitive in your soulish realm to a phrase or some sentences that might come together. See, it'll probably begin just like I'm teaching. If you'll step out in this beginning tonight, beginning tomorrow, how many of you are going to begin to use this and not just, you know, write notes about it? All right. The first way it'll probably start is through scriptures. That's easy. If you've been reading the Bible, then you can get hold of that. The next way, you might just get one word. All right? As you grow in this, you're going to start getting phrases or sentences come to you. Act on those, because that's the voice of God trying to get out of you so the anointing can manifest on the situation and work the miracle. I was in Syracuse, New York, and I was right in the middle of preaching, and usually, you know, I try to save the ministry to the end, because once I get going, it's hard to get the thing shut off, you know. But this time, I just felt so impressed. I saw this lady. I mean, I saw a lot of ladies, but I just saw this lady. My eyes went to this lady, and as I looked at her, one phrase came up into my consciousness: family restoration. And it so gripped me, I couldn't put it off to the end of the meeting. I said, I'm sorry, I got to stop. I called her up there. She looked around like, you know, embarrassed city. She comes out. I said, we're not trying to embarrass you. We want to minister to you. And that's all I had. Family restoration. I went with that. Everybody say, he went with that. In other words, you start with the little bit you get and more will be added. And so I started with that. And I said, I sense. And I always put it out there like this. I could be wrong, but you judge this. Here's what I feel. I sense the Lord is saying he wants to restore your family. As soon as I said that, she began to weep and cry and shake. All of a sudden, a group of people right where she was, they still go, oh, glory to God. I said, my radar's on it now. I got it now. Praise God, you know. Hallelujah. I locked on. You're like one of those killer, you know, missiles, you know, just get in there and get the devil out of there. And as I began to minister, more came. Turns out she had been, she was the wife of a minister. They had divorced. It had been a messy situation. She got restored that afternoon with her husband. They came to church that night. It's a glorious restoration that occurred. A miracle. Now, I tell you, that's a miracle worth clapping for, a family restoration. What if I had just dismissed the phrase family restoration? Well, that's just me. You know, I could be wrong. Yeah, you could be wrong. We know in part and we'll prophesy in part in this age. We have to judge, prophecy, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, etc., etc. But hey, that's not supposed to keep us back. That's not supposed to keep us back. Are you learning something tonight? The last little tip I want to give you, and then I want to read one other passage and we'll be through, is you must be sensitive in your soul, not just to a scripture, not to one word, not to a phrase, but sometimes to a mental picture. Sometimes you'll see something, and, you know, the Spirit will paint a picture to you. The Spirit will just paint a picture to you. And you'll just see yourself doing something, or you'll see someone else, or you may be seeing something in somebody's past, or you may be seeing something in your future. He will show you things to come. Do you remember that verse?
Yeah, he will.
Well, what do you need to do? Verbalize it. Describe it. My son, my daughter. Maybe you see yourself, you know, laying down in a beautiful green pasture. Wind's blowing. It's a cool day. Just one of those days where, man, you're just chilled out. And that's the picture. My son, my daughter, I will lead you to green pastures. You shall not want. I will put you at rest. This is the rest, and this is the refreshing. Abide and stay in vital union with me. Praise God. I'll need to hear that about five times a day. Now, one other passage and we'll be through. Go with me. Hold your finger there in chapter 14 because I want to refer back there. Go with me to Isaiah. In Isaiah 28. Now, a lot of people, they have problems. They say, well, you know, the Bible says that tongues is unto God and prophecy is unto men. So I have a problem, you know, with you teaching that tongues, you know, is a message that God wants to give you or a message that God wants to give somebody. Because chapter 14, verse 2 says that he that speaketh not on tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Well, don't limit it to that. Don't just jump on a verse and, you know, just make your whole theology off of one verse. Amen. That's dangerous. Everybody say that's dangerous.
Dangerous. Right.
Have you found Isaiah 28? All right. Do you still have 1 Corinthians 14? All right. In chapter 14, I want you to look at a little verse over verse 21. Chapter 14, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. Just right down the way from where we were reading. Because Paul, in teaching on tongue and interpretation of prophecy, quotes a little known verse out of Isaiah. Everybody say Isaiah. You mean Isaiah was talking about tongue and interpretation and prophecy? Yes, he was. That's where Paul bases his theology. Look at verse 21. He says, in the law, it is written. Now, where's he quoting from? What we're about to read in Isaiah. See? Look what Isaiah wrote. With men of other tongues and other lips will I, God, mark it, speak unto this people. So tongues not only is unto God, but when it's interpreted, it's meant to God to speak unto people. I'm a people. In fact, I'm a peoples, praise God. I'm a people and a peoples, praise the Lord. So I qualify. You only have qualified. You're just a people. I'm a people and a peoples, praise God. Look at verse 21. It says, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. But here's the sadness of it all. Look at verse 20. And yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Everybody say, I don't claim that. Everybody say, I will hear. But that was the problem that Isaiah foresaw. People said, well, we don't need that equipment. We'll not hear God that way. Well, we won't hear God this way. But I want you to see here, he's quoting Isaiah. Now go to Isaiah and let's read where Paul pulled this from. Isaiah 28, beginning with verse 9. Folks, when you get this, man, it'll absolutely light your fuse, praise God. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? In other words, who is God going to come and teach? See? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine or teaching? Or the Hebrew says, the hearing. The hearing. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. In other words, not just the little old babes, those that have gone up and grown a little bit. Verse 10, mark it. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Everybody say here a little.
Here.
And there a little.
Here.
Now here's what, you know, I'm really guilty of this. I'm the kind of guy that says, God, would you show me, just in 5 minutes, Lord, would you show me every detail of my life? Are y'all ever guilty of that? Lord, I'd like to see the entire thing. Then I'd know I'm on the right path, Lord. Lord says, no, no. Here a little, there a little. Now, this is going to put you at rest because some of you have been striving about this.
This concludes side one. Please turn the tape over for side two.
But, you know, I'm really guilty of this. I'm the kind of guy that says, God, would you show me, just in 5 minutes, Lord, would you show me every detail of my life? Are y'all ever guilty of that? Lord, I'd like to see the entire thing. Then I know I'm on the right path, Lord. Lord says, no, no. Here a little, there a little. Now, this is going to put you at rest because some of you have been striving about this. The Lord is not going to come down. He may show you glimpses of the future, but He's not going to show you every little detail and decision you've got to make from point A to point B. He'll show you things to come, but not every little thing. Here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept, line upon line. How is He going to do it? Through tongue interpretation. Look at verse 11. Right after the here a little and there a little, what Paul quoted. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people. To whom He said this. What? The stammering lips and another tongue and interpretation and prophecy. Everything Paul was talking about. For this is the rest. I tell you what, it was a rest to my life when I got on the right track about my airplane project. It would have been an embarrassment and a striving to my soul to buy the wrong airplane, not be able to afford to operate it, have to lose it, and get a bad taste in my mouth about airplanes and air travel for the rest of my life. Say, boy, that was a bad experience. Everybody say, this is the rest. It says, this is the rest wherewith He may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Would you mark that? This is the fresh anointing. This is the refreshing. This is part of the fresh anointing release, you see. Yet they would not hear. I don't claim that. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. You know what verse 13 is saying? The people said, no, don't speak to us that way, because when God speaks, He wants to snare you. See, when God speaks, He wants to break you. No, I don't want to hear God's voice. See, it was unto them. That's the way they thought the voice of God. No, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear God through stammering lips and another tongue. We don't want to hear God at all, because we know God doesn't have our good interest. No, this is the rest, and this is the refreshing if you'll have faith. And Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. The supernatural walkie-talkie system. How many of you are going to begin to move in it? Some of you need to go back to it. If you've been moving in it, you've let it slip, go back to it, praise God. Let's stand to our feet. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And
hello, this is Jason Peebles again, and I wanted to jump in the studio and make some final remarks in our series. I want to really encourage you to begin to apply the basic, simple precepts of the Word of God that we've discussed in this six-tape series on how to maintain the fresh anointing. That river of God. There is a river of God, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. And that river, you see, is in your spirit, but it wants to flow into your mind, into your emotions, up through your soulish realm. And if you'll just simply do the simple things, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, that's one thing we can do every day. And if we'll do these simple things, we will actually release the river that's within us, and it'll flow up into our soulish realms. God bless you. We love you. Please pray for our ministry. You know, when you are a home office for as many missionaries as we are, we have missionaries all over the world that look to us for their affairs. There's a lot of responsibility. Pray for us. Pray in the Spirit for us. We need your prayers. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to this set. I trust it'll change your life forever. Amen.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated, and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.